After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea, in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." All right, well, I look out and I see all these smiling faces, and everyone's in a different state today, and there's decorations, and it's a beautiful day, so I think there's really nothing I can do but start by saying I really wish every one of you a Merry, Merry Christmas. Christmas is here, and I just feel like it's an absolutely stunning and glorious day to worship together. But we gather here today with many different emotions and from many different places. Some of us have been waiting with bated breath for this day to come, and some of us may have simply been enduring this season that has been leading up to this day, and maybe even struggling to do so. Some of us have a million things on their minds right now. It might be all the things that you have yet to do today, preparations you still have to make. But then again, some of us are kind of finding this restful spirit after the busyness of this weekend. It's been a really long season. For the church, we've been preparing and we've been guiding our hearts through this season of Advent for 4 weeks. We've been paving the paths in our hearts for the coming of our King. And for the world around us, it seems like this Christmas season kind of maybe even started way back in October with decorations and with music and with parties and festivities and activities all over the place. It's just been a really long season. And all of these preparations and festivities all leading up to this one event, and that is today. And I'm kind of fearful that if we don't just take a moment to take it in, it could pass us by before we even know it. So wherever you're at right now, whatever thoughts are stirring in your hearts and in your minds, I just want to start this morning off with a moment of silence. I encourage you to take in some deep breaths, to take a moment and just gauge where your hearts and your minds are this morning. Or simply sit in stillness and invite God to meet you in that place. We'll take about 1 minute. So please join me now in quiet.
Gracious, loving God, we come before you today with praise and with thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for bringing us through another year. Thank you, God, for bringing us together to worship you once again. Thank you for this fellowship. Thank you for the birth of our Savior. And thank you for your word. God, we ask that you come before us and that you prepare our hearts now for whatever you would have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
So here we are, it's Christmas Day, and we've finished all of our Christmas preparations, and tomorrow might seem a little different. The radios are not gonna be playing Christmas music anymore, and the trees are gonna start to come down, and when you walk into the store, all of those Christmassy items are going to be picked through and clearanced out. It's going to seem maybe surreal for some of us. We get a lot of messages on what Christmas is about. I think actually Hans Erik touched on this last night, that there are so many things that we understand Christmas to be. And some of those are really good things, and some of those are just sorely misleading. Some of them are self-serving or materialistic, and some are really nice sentiments, but they kind of miss the point, or they try, but they don't really entirely capture what Christmas is. And with our hearts just constantly inundated by all of these messages, the end of the season might seem a little flat. Like if we've spent the entire season preparing for this one day and we celebrate this one day but we aren't really sure why, or we celebrate this one day but it's for these self-indulging purposes, or it's not really understood, then it's pretty anticlimactic. And then the next day it's just over. And what do we do with that? Honestly, it is anticlimactic if you do it that way. It's even anticlimactic if you're celebrating it for the birth of a baby who was born 2,000 years ago, because that's not the entirety of the message. Today we celebrate not just a baby, but a king. And actually it's even more than that, because I've been thinking this week of a couple of years ago, a baby was born to be a king, and the world was pretty excited about that. It was a big deal at the time because the family is already royal and wealthy and celebrities in their own right. But to be honest, I had to Google his name. Prince George, by the way. He's going to be King of England. Well, probably going to be King of England someday. And his birth was kind of a big deal, but I forgot about it. I couldn't tell you his birthday or what his name was, or I don't know. There are probably a lot of rulers born. I mean, there have got to be a lot of children who are destined to become kings or presidents somewhere in our world, and I can't tell you who they are. I'm sure most of you can't either. It's not just a king we celebrate. Now, some people did come pretty close to worshiping Prince George when he was born, but that's because, again, his parents are royal and rich and celebrities, and we live in the age of media and of internet and of instant access, so there was kind of a media frenzy. But today, we remember a baby who was born pretty quietly. There were no iPhones, and there was no internet and no television and no newspapers. And this child wasn't born to a wealthy, famous family. He was born to a kind of poor family with not much consequence. And yet the angels themselves declared his birth. And that right there tells us that he's so much more than a king. And I want to just take a moment to imagine what a grand celebration that was. There's nothing anticlimactic there. That was a grand celebration. The shepherds were there, but the angels were there announcing his birth. And isn't he worthy of such a celebration? And even more. And even that is just part of why we celebrate Christmas today. But then we look at Matthew 2, and I'm going to call it the figurative day after Christmas. I don't know what day it was, but it wasn't Christmas Day. You know, in present day, we might see the day after Christmas as the calm after the storm, or this confusing time that everything is done and over with, and the celebrations have all died down, and we don't really know what to do with it. The time following Christmas can be somewhat of a shock, even, after the hustle and bustle of the season. And sometimes it can be just mundane. And yet, it's kind of there. It's in that mundane, weird time after Christmas that I really see the actual reason that we celebrate this king in the first place. So I hope you'll bear with me for a moment, and I'll show you what I mean. When Matthew 2 picks up, the shepherds have long since gone. Jesus really didn't have much fame at all at this point. The shepherds are the ones to whom the angels spoke, but they were not very reputable, and they were poor, and they were lowly people. Nobody particularly cared what they had to say. And by the way, it's been a while since Jesus has been born at this point. And nobody knows exactly when, but our best guess is that the wise men traveled for more than 2 years following that star. So Jesus could be well over two at this point. We really don't know, but it's not right after the birth. There's been this lull time. And maybe that was a time of being mundane, and maybe there was kind of a confusing time to process. And then we see the chaos that this king was born into. And that's what tells me he was far more than a king. Enter Herod. He's a horrible person. The wise men came to ask him where the baby was who was born to be king of the Jews. Now, Herod is not the rightful king of the Jews. He is the king. He was appointed by the Roman Empire. But he's not of David's lineage, and people don't necessarily like him. And he was very well aware of these prophecies about the Messiah. Now, Herod was a jealous man, and he was violent, and he would do anything to protect his throne. He would have people imprisoned. He would have people executed. He had his own sons, some of them, executed for fear that they would take over his throne. This man was not a man who took this lightly. And just the very rumor that the Messiah had been born concerned him, because here was the Messiah appointed by God, and as far as Israel could see, the rightful heir to the throne. And he knew that if this man had God's power, it's very possible he could take the throne away from him. So from the moment he heard this news, Herod was troubled. It seemed that he would stop at nothing to see Jesus executed. Pastor Steve read that very troubling passage, and there's nothing light about that. It was tragedy. Herod demanded that all boys 2 and under be executed. And that's just a sickening, disgusting passage to read. The whole land was weeping for their children. And unfortunately, in this fallen and broken world that we live in, that's kind of how things go sometimes. Can we deny that some of our current events are equally awful? And here's the truth, even greater than a birth of some random king. That king was Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel has been on my heart this season a lot. Emmanuel means God with us. And I want you to really let that sink in today. God himself, God who chose to be born into that atrocious world, God who chose to be born into a violent world to be with us, even into a world that would seek to kill him from birth. And the greater news is that he chose to be with us in this chaos, and not just to be with us, but to put an end to these great injustices. Because God chose to be with us, one day there would be no more weeping. Now, something else catches my eye in this passage. It wasn't only King Herod who was disturbed by the news of this birth, but all of Jerusalem with him. Now, that might have been in reference just to the priests and teachers, but that was a huge gathering with a lot of power. The priests and the teachers of the law who were running a corrupt religious charade that benefited them greatly. Surely God's Messiah would stop that, and their benefits would go, right? Because let's think back to Chronicles or to Kings or to the records of any king in Judah. The good kings, the ones who were counted as righteous, the first things they did were tear down the altars and destroy the idols and restore good worship to God. Good, non-corrupt worship of God. Certainly, God's appointed Messiah would not stand for their corrupt worship, and that was a problem for them. So he chose to be born a helpless baby, despised, sought into a world that sought his execution from the moment they heard of him, in a world full of governments and power systems pitted against him and of people who rejected him. People who still reject him. So that he could die for those very people and live with them forever. Live with us forever. Now let's think about this. Our God chose to be born human to be with us. God has all the power in all of creation. He can do anything he wants. And he chose to be with us. And that's fine. That's an amazing truth on its own. But why would he choose to be born a helpless baby, despised? He could have entered the world as a much less vulnerable man. He could have entered the world wealthy and respected. But he entered as a baby, born of humans, to be with us. Not just to be with us, but to take on our lowly, flawed human condition, to take it all on. Everything that we face as humans, then, he took on. And then as a human, knowing everything that we face, he died for us that our sins could be forgiven and that every atrocity the world has ever known could one day be made right again. So we see in this day after Christmas period that he's not just a king, but he's a king born into this crazy chaos. The reign of King Herod is only the start of it, and he took that on purpose. There is nothing anticlimactic or flat about that. And this is a promise not just for today, Christmas Day, but for tomorrow, when all of the evidence of Christmas starts to fade away and the normalcies of life return and the trials of life come back to the forefront. When we hear about tragedies on the news, God is still with us. Emmanuel is not just a name for Christmas Day. Emmanuel is a name for every day. God is still with us. In every last one of our joys and our sorrows, God is with us. And we still look forward to the coming of his kingdom, the miracle of his birth and the passion of his death that was only the beginning. And yet, though we know this truth, the time after Christmas can spark any numbers of feelings. It could feel mundane or maybe tumultuous, and God is fully with us. He's entering in time and again into the darkness and chaos and peacefulness and joy. It's this journey that really doesn't end. Advent has ended. This season will end soon. We'll go through this again next year, and those preparations will come and they'll go. But because God chose to be with us on our journey with God will only continue, and hopefully it's going to change us and grow us regardless of what day or season of the year it is. And that brings me to the now what part of the message. See, we have the celebration that Emmanuel is born, but there's something left. And I've left out kind of an important part of the passage up to this point. We touched on Herod, and we touched on the rest of Jerusalem, and we saw how the world he was born into was chaos right from his birth, fleeing from country to country and being hunted. But we haven't really touched on the wise men, and I think that they give an interesting example of how we ought to live the day after Christmas. Now, the wise men, or magi, were of a priestly class from Eastern lands. They studied everything to do with science, especially astrology. They also studied religion and diplomatic works and kind of everything. They made it their business to know stuff. They just took on knowledge. That was what they did. Magi would have interacted with the Jews during the diaspora, hundreds of years before Jesus' birth. And so they would have heard his prophecies told, being who they were with their love for science and astrology and religion. It's probably something that they didn't let go of easily. They probably passed it down. So it's really not a surprise that they took it upon themselves to follow this random star that they realized, they knew, went to Bethlehem, went to the place where Jesus was born. But how they came to know that the star would bring them there is a question left unanswered. We only know that they did follow the star, and they followed it faithfully for a couple of years. Then they met him, and they brought gifts to him. From what little we see in the narrative, we may feel like their time with him was the majority of the time that was spent. But then I was thinking about it, and it really couldn't have been. See, it took them a couple of years just to travel from their land to him. And that might seem like when they got there, that might seem like the end of the journey, but I argue that it was only the beginning because they had to get home. And that had to have taken an equally substantial amount of time. But I also think, and this is only speculation, that maybe something changed. I mean, they were wise men, and Herod was a notably cruel person, and at first, they hear him out. It isn't until after they met Jesus that they were open to the dream, and that they decided not to go back to Herod. So the time came when their visit with Jesus was over. I expect they were transformed by their visit enough to change their path back home, as it says. And that wasn't convenient for them. It probably added more time onto their journey, and it was probably dangerous. Herod wasn't someone to be trifled with. Well, they journeyed for years to and from Bethlehem. They worshiped the Messiah. They had some sort of encounter with God in the dream. This was not a one-day holiday for them. This was a life-changing experience. And after they saw Jesus, it was a continuing journey of faith. We know nothing about their journey home, but we do know that they had one. And that's some even more great news of Christmas. The celebration lasts for a short time. Just one day every year. And then sometimes we're kind of at a loss for what to do next. There's no single answer to that. Only that we do continue to journey in faith. And God doesn't stop being with us after this holiday. He continues to guide us on our journeys. The journey of walking with Emmanuel, with the God who came to be with us, lasts a lifetime. Now this week, I had a really great joy of reading some words written by Howard Thurman, and I want you to hear them with me. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. It's Christmas Day. We are busy. We are celebrating. And the holiday will be over soon enough, perhaps before we even know it. But praise God. The truth of Emmanuel remains with us. We celebrate him in many different ways today. Soon it will be time to journey on and discern which way he is calling us next, but that's not today's work. Today we may rest knowing that God defied all to come as an infant just to be with us. He remains with us today. And one day his kingdom will reign, that we may be with him forever. And to that, I say, Merry Christmas. Dear God, thank you so much for the good news that you have for us that doesn't last one day, but lasts a lifetime and then some. God, thank you for sending your son to come to us born as a vulnerable baby, and to die for the very world of chaos that he entered into. May you guide us this Christmas day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.